Christina and I, when we got married, we went to Bermuda for our honeymoon. It was wonderful, beautiful, really nice. So we got to go back for our 10th anniversary. But months before we went back, a hurricane hit the island and just devastated things everywhere. Trees were knocked down, uprooted. The staircase where we stayed was down, the staircase down to the beach was half missing. And houses, as you go around the island, you could see were still broken down, walls knocked down, houses just shaken horribly, some of them damaged severely, some of them destroyed, some of them just completely gone. And some of them managed to persevere and hang on through that hurricane and through that storm. And sometimes, in particular after a year like the year we've had, we can feel like those houses that went through that storm. Battered, knocked around, barely hanging on. Doing our best to persevere the storms of life. And if you recall, hopefully you recall, that's where we started a few weeks ago when we started this series we're calling Unshakable. We started by talking about storms like these, storms that shake our lives. And Jesus said that those who come to him and listen to him and do what he says, they're like people who build their homes on solid foundations so that when the storms come, they stand strong and they're not shaken. They become unshakable if they do what he says. And so for the last 3 weeks, we've gone back through the rest of Jesus' sermon here that he's preaching to his disciples on the plain there in Luke chapter 6. We've looked at the things he's said so that we could understand what it is he wants us to do, so that we could do them and live these unshakable lives. And we've heard what Jesus had to say about building unshakable happiness or wellness. And we've heard what Jesus had to say about building unshakable love and what he had to say about building unshakable relationships. And today, in the passage we're about to read, Jesus is going to talk to us about how to build, about our unshakable purpose. And he's also going to give us, alongside of that, a double-edged truth that will help us navigate this life. So would you stand with me one more time, and let's read Luke chapter 6 together. You can follow along in the app and take notes there if you have our app on your phone, or you can follow along on the screen or in your own Bible. It's Luke chapter 6, just verses 43 to 45. And this is what Jesus said. He said, "No good tree bears bad fruit, and nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." You may be seated again. We started this series with a picture of a house and a storm, and today we're ending with a picture of the tree and its fruits. And we need both of these pictures, the house on the foundation in the storm and the tree bearing fruit. We need both of these pictures in order to recognize our unshakable purpose in these unshakable lives Jesus calls us to live. It's a wonderful truth that Jesus, that we talked about that first week, that if we build our lives on Jesus as our foundation, we know that we're secure and can weather any storm that life throws at us. We can persevere through anything. And that image of Jesus as our rock is both comforting and powerful and encouraging and best of all, true. But this picture of the good tree bearing good fruit shows us another side to this, that this unshakable life isn't only about perseverance. It's also about productivity. That our unshakable purpose isn't just to persevere, it's to produce. It's really hard to think about producing fruit, though, when you're caught up in the storms of life. It's really hard to think about what you're producing in productivity when there's, you know, bad weather just knocking you around or situations and circumstances that are just knocking you around through life. It's hard to focus on being fruitful. After all, some of you have been through hurricanes. Others, we've all seen pictures of what they do, like down in Florida when a hurricane's coming. They don't go out and plant more orange trees or whatever they're planting. What do? They're putting plywood on everything, and they're trying to nail everything down so nothing blows away. Because when the storms are coming and when you're focused on the storms, you're doing everything you can to protect what you have and make everything secure. You're not thinking about going and planting and producing fruit or harvesting fruit. You're just not thinking about that. And let's just be honest about ourselves. When you and I are focused on the storms and allow the storms of life to take center stage and shape our lives become about weathering storms. And we're just trying to weather this storm, then that, and it just never ends. We're always weathering storms, and we don't give much thought to fruitfulness. And what happens there is it makes it very easy for you and me to adopt a mindset about building this unshakable life where we believe it's about creating a safe place for us to hide until Jesus comes to get us. Yep, I'm going to build my life on Jesus. I'm going to build it nice and solid and secure so that I have a safe place to wait it out until Jesus comes to get me. But that is not Jesus' unshakable purpose for us. When you let the storms define you, you end up seeing only part of his purpose for you. And if you're just living that part of his purpose, then you're missing out on the fullness of what Jesus has for those who follow him. Of course, he wants you and me to persevere, but he also wants you and me to produce fruit. Your life doesn't have to be defined by storms. It should be defined. It can be defined by living out this unshakable purpose to produce fruit, even in the midst of storms, even through storms. That's your unshakable purpose, to do more than persevere, to produce. On his last night with his disciples, right before he was arrested and tried and killed, one of the main things Jesus said to his disciples very clearly was, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that would last, remain." Well, what kind of fruit lasts and remains? The Apostle Paul helps us with this. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "Now these three remain." These are what last. Of everything in life, of all the gifts, even of the Spirit, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. The fruits that Jesus expects to grow out of our lives, us to produce, that's our purpose. The fruit he expects us to produce are the very things he's been talking about through this whole sermon to his disciples that we've been going through. It's this joy that can't be shaken because it's planted in Jesus and his promises. It's this love that loves enemies even. It's this gracious, generous forgiveness that builds unshakable relationships. These are the fruits that Jesus is calling us to produce. That's our purpose. Produce this fruit, most of all, of this kind of Christ-like love so others can taste and see how God is good. That's what should be growing out of our lives. That's our purpose. Not just weathering storms, but producing fruit in the face of storms. I was reading a story the other day about two neighbors. A true story. One was a Christian, and the other one didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to talk about Christ or Christianity or any of that stuff. Didn't care. And they were friendly. They would talk over their fence and have conversations here and there. They would borrow things from each other here and there. And then tragedy struck the man who wasn't a Christian. His wife was stricken with cancer, and within 3 months, she was gone. And I want you to hear what he wrote about this moment in his life. He said, "I was in total despair. I went through the funeral preparations and the service like I was in a trance. After the service, I went to the path along the river, and I just walked all night. But I didn't walk alone. My neighbor," that the Christian neighbor, my neighbor, maybe he was afraid for me, I guess, he stayed with me all night. He didn't speak. He didn't even really walk beside me. He just followed me. And when the sun finally came up over the river, he came over to me and said, "Let's go get some breakfast." And then I want you to hear, I'm going to show you here what he wrote next. This is what he said. "I go to church now, my neighbor's church. A religion that can produce the kind of caring and love my neighbor showed me, it's something I want to find out more about. I want to love and be loved like that for the rest of my life." Producing that kind of fruit is our unshakable purpose. It's part of what living the unshakable life is all about. Our unshakable purpose goes beyond merely persevering through life's storms and leaning on Jesus to get us through the storms. It's so much greater than that. It's that you and I, even in the face of life's storms, become fruitful for Jesus, producing all these wonderful things that Jesus taught us about, and most of all, this love that remains. Now, that's the unshakable purpose that you and I need to recognize and embrace, and so that our following Jesus models the entire picture, not just the perseverance, but the productivity. But now there's a double-edged truth in these words of Jesus also that cuts in two different directions. On the one hand, it helps us cut through the confusion of our world and all these competing ideas that press against and push against the gospel. But it also cuts, we can use it to cut through our own stuff and examine our own lives so that we can see the truth about ourselves. So let's read it again one more time, just so that we can let this sink in deeply. Let Jesus' words sink in. He said, "No good tree bears bad fruit, and no bad tree bears good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Cuts in two directions. It gives us clarity to look outward and clarity to look inward. Let's start with the clarity to look outward. In order to apply Jesus' words to our lives, always when you're reading scripture, the first thing we've got to do is understand what he's saying to his disciples and how he meant them to understand it. What is he trying to say to them specifically for their situation? And throughout this sermon, Jesus has been inviting them to draw a contrast between the people they consider to be the most righteous, holy people of their day and the fruit that comes out of their lives and what they had made of Judaism and their understanding of God and the fruit that comes out of his life and the things he does. Throughout this whole sermon, throughout Jesus' whole ministry career, he's inviting this contrast between here are the people who say they are the leaders of the followers of God. They say they know God best. They say this is, we define righteousness. He said, look at the stuff that comes out of their lives. He says, look at the way they pray. Not just what they say they believe and the things they say. Look at the way they pray. Have you noticed that they pray just to be noticed by everybody? They're praying to put on a show. That's the fruit that comes out. Look at the way they give. They give so that people will notice them and think, oh, wow, how generous they are. They're giving for other people's admiration. Look at the way they fast. They fast and they walk around like, oh my gosh, I'm just so hungry. I can't believe it. They're fasting what? For God or to get attention and people's respect and admiration? They're putting on a show. And you know that because you look at the fruit of their life. When it comes time to help someone who's hurting and in need, they would rather let that person suffer and be sick than violate one of their little rules to help that person. They prefer that. They pay all this attention on how they appear on the outside, but on the inside, they're full of anger and bitterness and judgmentalism, and they get in the way of people entering God's kingdom. And Jesus said, compare that. Look at the fruit of their lives and then look at my life and look what comes out of the things I do and I say. He said, don't just look at the show. Don't just look at the presentation. You've got to look at the fruits. And here's, okay, fair warning, corny joke alert is about to come up, but I'm going to use it. I thought of it. I think it will help be helpful for you. And it's in my head, so now you're going to have to suffer with it too. Here's what it is. What Jesus is telling us, although don't blame him for the corny joke, it's this. You can't judge a tree by its leaves. There it is. You judge it by its fruit. So you don't judge it. I told you it was corny. You can't want me. You don't judge it by all this appearance, by how many leaves, how full it is, how big it is, how many people hang around it. You don't judge it by all that stuff. You know it by its fruit. Our world is full of these competing ideas about life and happiness and love and relationships. And in order to know what's true and who to follow, Jesus says, look at the fruit. Look at what comes out of their life. Look at what their lives produce. Is it good fruit, fruit that remains? Or is it rotten fruit in the end? Where does it go? Because that's the point. The point isn't just to be a tree that lives, it's to produce fruit that nourishes. And each week as we've gone through these sermons of Jesus, we've been comparing what Jesus says about life and about wellness, this real happiness about love and relationships, to what the world says about him. And each week we've seen that when you follow what Jesus says, even though it seems narrow to build your life on Jesus only, it actually creates a foundation that allows you to open up and expand. And so Jesus' view on love is unshakable, and the world's view on love just narrows you down and makes you more narrow with your love. Jesus' view on relationships is this generous forgiveness, but our world's view of relationships is stingy and withholding. Jesus' view about happiness is expansive, and our world's view of chasing happiness like we're climbing a mountain actually makes it harder and harder for you to enjoy things and find real pleasure in them. Everything about the world in comparison, the fruit, when you chase the ideas all the way out, it makes you narrower, stingier, less able to love, more anxious and broken, and then that's the fruit of it. But you follow Jesus and you actually become more expansive and wide open and capable of love and all these other things. And listen to me, because we don't think about this too often. All around you, ideas are being presented to you. They're being presented to you through all the television shows you watch. It's just really nicely packaged ideas that some writer or group of writers have put together. It's being given to you in a package. Whether it's a TV show or a movie or a TikTok video or YouTube, or if someone's watching this 20 years from now on whatever the famous app is at the time, if there's still apps then, it's whatever that is, they're delivering it to you through the book, through the presentation, through the podcast. They're really this nicely put together packages of ideas, and they're inviting you to take your roots and sink them into those ideas and saying, hey, here's an idea you should believe and follow. And how do you and I know whether that's a place to really sink our roots? Is it by how nicely packaged it is? Usually. The way our nation votes drastically and dramatically changed once they started televising debates. Why is that? The appearances and the packages now began to take on more of a weight in everything. But Jesus is saying it's not about that. What does it produce? If you want to know whether this is a person to listen to and follow, get up close to their life and see the fruit of their life. See the way they treat people when they go out to eat. See the way they act toward others who maybe can't do anything for them. See the fruit that comes out of their life. Don't just watch from a distance and be impressed by the package and then say, oh yeah, I'm going to believe that. Get up close, taste the fruit and see. Because trees can look beautiful and still not produce good fruit. And you know, it occurred to me as I was thinking about this, that many people could point at Christians and say, well, I mean, look at the fruit of Christians' lives. It's not really much different than so many other people's lives. And they could even point at Christian leaders and pastors and say, well, you know, that kind of greed and hypocrisy, if that's the fruit, that hatred, if that's the fruit of Christianity, then by Jesus' own measure, I should stay away from Christians and stay away from Christianity. But when I look closely at Christians who failed, whether they're famous Christians or not, whether it's you or me, when I look closely and see in my life, ooh, that's a piece of rotten fruit that just came out of me, or them, or why did their tree all of a sudden turn to a bunch of rotten fruit, you can always trace it back to a moment when they stopped sinking their roots into Jesus and what Jesus says about wellness and love and relationships and all of this. And we started getting tempted and sinking our roots into other things to bring us happiness, to bring us comfort, to bring us security. And there's always that moment where we picked up our roots and put them somewhere else. So when we fail, when Christians fail to keep our roots rooted in Jesus, and then we bring out fruit that doesn't reflect Jesus, and yet we continue to say, yeah, I'm a Christian, what does that do? What does that do? This is why it's so vital that you and I embrace what Jesus says here and ask him for his help to live these lives that are not just persevering, sheltered lives, but productive lives Not just a life that, you know, gets by and is safe, but doesn't put anything out. Because maybe if I don't put anything out, I don't hurt anybody. But you're also not helping anybody. And that's not the life Jesus called you to either. He called us not to put out nothing just to be safe and secure. He called us to put out good fruit. That's what he calls us to. And Jesus helps us when it comes to looking at the world around us and evaluating the world around us and the ideas that are being presented that compete with his, or we're not sure if they compete with his. In the end, it's not about how everything looks. It's not about how the size of the tree or how strong it looks or how many monkeys are swinging on that tree. It's about the fruit that comes out of it. Look at the fruit, where it goes, what it produces. So that's the first thing that you and I can take it and use that to measure all these different ideas that you're ingesting and I'm ingesting. But then this other edge of this truth is for us to use on ourselves, to cut through this stuff in me and ask myself, well, what kind of fruit's coming out of me? And this one's much harder to do. It's easy to, like, you know, whatever, ninja attack that the fruit's somebody else's life. Turn the blade now on us and let's fruit ninja our own lives and say, what's this fruit like in me? He gives us clarity to look inward. And there are two things Jesus says here that are really important for us as we turn this on ourselves and say, let me look inward and examine me, because that's where it's got to start. The first one is this idea of a storehouse of good. And we got to wrap our minds around this, because I think this is incredibly difficult and challenging, and yet it's such a compelling picture, the storehouse of good. Jesus said the good person brings forth good things from the goodness stored up in their heart. In other words, there's a buildup. They've taken time to cultivate and curate and gather and draw in God's goodness into their lives. And then they filled themselves up with it. They're filled with this goodness. And so you bump into them and it spills out. Have you ever gone apple picking? How many of you have gone apple picking? At home, you can raise your hands too. All right, so have you ever come across a tree when you were apple picking that gives apples to one person, and then the next person walks up and it gives them a bunch of thorns? And then the next person comes up and it gives them a brick. And the next person comes up and it gives them one of those fake little waxy apples that people put on for display. Have you ever come across a tree that does that? That changes the fruit based on who's standing in front of it or the mood that it's in? If not, do me a favor, take out your camera, your phones right now. Take out your phone at home too. Take out your phone, open your camera app. Go ahead, do it. I know you may have to dig in your purse. Grab your phone, take out your phone, point your cameras up here at me. Point your cameras at me, get them going, all right? If you don't have a camera phone, then just do this and pretend you're like one of those fancy photographers framing your picture, all right? Do that. Those of you who don't have a phone, it's not going to work, sorry. But okay, everybody got your camera pointing at me. Good. Now, hit that little button on your camera that reverses it, so now it's pointing at you. Okay, now you've seen two people who act like this, who are exactly the kind of tree we're talking about that gives this fruit to that person, this fruit to that person, depending on the mood I'm in or how I feel. You can, don't sit there taking pictures of me now. You can put them down. You and I are just like this. Like, you know, here, you know, I've got my, here, haven't I like you fruit? I've got a, you know, here's the, I haven't had my morning coffee yet fruit. Here's the, I'm overwhelmed and you're annoying me fruit. Right? Depending on the situation, depending on the person, we give different fruit to different people. Where's the storehouse of good? Because that's not the kind of tree Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about the kind of tree that gives out different stuff to different people. He's talking about the kind of tree that no matter who walks up or when it is, they get the same thing, because it's that nature of that tree to give that fruit. And nothing changes that nature of that tree. It gives that fruit because of where its roots are. It gives that fruit because of the atmosphere it lives in. Nothing changes that, no matter who it is standing in front of it. And what that means is this: for you and I to have this storehouse that enables us to produce the fruits of love and joy and peace and faith and hopefulness and all these things constantly, it means that we are rooted in Christ and surrounded by the atmosphere that the Holy Spirit brings on our lives. And because of that, that shapes the fruit that comes out of me. Nothing else and no one else. And that fruit consistently comes out of me because I'm rooted in Jesus and not other stuff. And I am watered by the Holy Spirit through prayer and fasting and digging into God's word. And I'm cultivating and he's filling me up with this fruit. And so it doesn't change. How many of you can say that that's you? I can't say that that's me. I know. I mean, as I wrestled with this week, how many times God confronted me with, hey, dude, you need to be the kind of tree I'm calling you to be here. You can't be changing. It's a storehouse. It's a storehouse built up. That's what he's calling us to be, because we're tapped into him. He supplies, and so we don't change. We don't change. Is there a storehouse built up in you of good, of this kind of fruit? Or is your heart, is your mind so full of past hurts and offenses and grudges and fears and anxieties? Are your roots sunk into all those things? So then what comes out of you is that? Is that stuff really nurturing you? Because it can't work that way. You've got to take your roots up out of that stuff. Sink them into Jesus. And then the fruit that you produce will begin to change dramatically, drastically. So that's the first point, the storehouse. It's built up. It's that consistently I give this fruit, not based on anybody else, but based on Christ. The second point Jesus makes here for evaluating ourselves is watch your mouth. He says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. One of your main fruit delivery systems is your mouth. The words you say and how you say them, they can infect a room or they can bring healing into the room. Now, there's a parrot exhibit at the Lincolnshire Wildlife Park that was forced to remove 5 newly adopted parrots from their exhibit, and the director explained why. He said, sometimes we take in parrots that, you know, they've come from homes where the person can't take care of them anymore, and a lot of times that former owner has taught them a curse word or two. And what we found is, as long as we don't laugh at them and don't react, it doesn't feed into it, and eventually they just stop using that word because it's not getting them any kind of reaction from us. So that's what we typically do. But it just so happened on this one occasion, we took in 5 parrots at once, and they were all quarantined together. And each one had been taught to curse by their previous owners. But not only had they been taught to curse, they'd been taught to laugh at cursing. So now they became a feedback loop for each other, encouraging each other, because one would curse, the others would laugh, and it would just encourage that one to curse more. And then they'd all keep cursing. He said it was like walking into a trucker bar of just guys like, bleep, bleep. You know, that's what it was like. So we had to, you know, remove them from exhibit. Humanity is like one giant room of parrots when you think about it. What is your voice contributing to the room? Are you just another voice spreading anger and fear and prejudice and foolishness and arrogance and conspiracies and confusion? Are you just another voice squawking nonsense and curses? Or are you a voice that's bringing fruit that's rooted in Jesus? These fruits of love and joy and peace and forgiveness and grace and mercy and unshakable joy, unshakable peace, unshakable love and forgiveness. That's our purpose. And so if you want to know where you are right now and know, am I living out this unshakable purpose and producing this kind of fruit? Then look at the fruits in your life. Look at the things you're saying. Consider the things you've said even today so far. Things you've said this past week. Just let your mind rewind to the conversations you've had. Were they words that grow out of being rooted in Christ, or did they come from somewhere else? And then ask Jesus, help me lift up my roots and get out of there, because our unshakable life that Jesus calls us to has an unshakable purpose, and that purpose goes beyond just persevering through the storms to producing this kind of fruit no matter who walks up to us, because it's not about the situation I'm in or the people around me. It's because I'm rooted in Christ, nurtured by the Holy Spirit. And I can produce this fruit even in the face of life's storms. But I know, as we stand here and sit here this morning and wherever you're watching or participating from, that there are times when we feel knocked around by the storms of life. We feel like trees that are just barely hanging on. We feel like maybe we're dying. Our faith is dying or getting weak. And you don't feel like so much of a bad tree. You just feel like a tree that's weak and and struggling and dying. What do I do? What do I do if that's where my faith is? That's how I'm feeling. I'm wondering if maybe I'm leaning more toward turning into this dead, bad tree. And when I grew up, as I was growing up, there was one thing we insisted on. Every Christmas, we had to get a real tree. Every Christmas, we had to go out and buy a real tree, and we'd bring it home, and we'd put it in that stand, and we'd water it and do our best to decorate it and cover up the truth. We'd put ornaments on it and tinsel and garland and all that stuff, and we'd try to keep that thing alive for as long as we could and cover up the truth that the thing was dead. It wasn't maybe totally dead yet, but it was dying very quickly. And, you know, maybe we could keep it alive for 2 or 3 weeks if the dog would stop peeing on it and the cat would stop climbing it. But eventually, those needles were all going to drop and it was going to be evident it was dead. But the truth was, in spite of all of our efforts to cover that thing with, you know, beauty and chaos of the way kids decorate, the truth was that tree was dead. And you know what I've never seen happen? In all my life, never seen happen. I've never seen a Christmas tree come back to life by hanging ornaments on it or tinsel or garland. I've never seen that happen. Not even when we put the angel on top. Still didn't bring it back to life. Are you a Christmas tree Christian? Your roots aren't sunk in Christ. You feel like maybe they're cut off. And you can feel like your faith is drying up and dying. And, you know, maybe it's you're putting on the ornaments, you're putting on the tinsel and the garments and the things to cover up the truth that it's dying, but it's true, it's still dying. Christmas tree faith doesn't work. You can't just hang fruit on a tree and pretend it's okay. I can't hang figs on the thorny branches of my life and say, no, I'm okay. No, I'm not. It doesn't work. Look, there was no hope for our Christmas trees. They were not going to come back. They were not going to come back to life. But there is hope for you and for me. The truth is that we all started like a Christmas tree. We're all walking around trying to look alive by hanging baubles on our life. But the truth was we're all slowly dying. Some quicker than others, but all of us dying. And decorating doesn't change that. Decorating your life with all the stuff of this world doesn't change that. Jesus changes that. Jesus can bring you new life. He was nailed to a dead tree and buried in the ground so that he could plant a new forest. He doesn't decorate you and me. He doesn't just put ornaments on us, good behaviors here and there. He transplants us and connects us to himself and gives us new life so you and I can not just be safe and secure in him, but actually produce fruit that comes from him. No matter how dry or brittle you might feel or your life or your faith has become, Jesus can bring you new life right now. Right now in him. It's just a matter of asking him, forgive me. Take my roots and sink them into you. Bring me this new life. I want to be part of this forest of bringing fruit into this world and holding it out so others can taste and see how good our God is.